It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, and it is week number two of the critically acclaimed, never duplicated Tears of Evan. Last week, we dove into the running backs. We told you today it was going to be the wide receivers. We lied. I'm sorry, we lied. Evidently, Evan has to sign up his daughter for kindergarten registration. Big day. We've all been there, or we'll all be there. So, as a result, we're going to do tight ends today. We're going to get you all set up for the tight ends, including my man crush, Rob Gronkowski, probably the greatest human being in the history of the earth. Anyway, we're presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast with the best odds and the fastest payouts. You guys know the deal. I am giving out all kinds of stuff this month, including entries into the September redraft league. We've got Paul Kurwichkuk. I don't know, Paul, I have no idea how to say your last name. It's like Kurwychuck, something like that. He made a PayPal contribution over at rostucker.com, which, by the way, is always a really good way to go ahead and get whatever you're looking for. And he wanted to be in the September Fantasy Feast year-long league. So congratulations, Paul Kurwichkuck. Anthony Mullen sent me like 7 Amazon orders. So, Anthony, you're the other guy. Come on down into the season-long Fantasy Feast League. As for the free MFL entries, dudes, you guys are slacking. I'm just telling you, last week's the next week. Next week, I should say, is the last week, and I'm going to have to give out 9. Because I'm giving out 4 today. Kenneth Coates sent me about 1 million sponsor confirmations from RossTucker.com. He emailed them to me, forwarded them to me, Ross@RossTucker.com. So, Kenneth, you get the MFL 50, bro. I'm giving you the MFL 50. I'm not messing around. That was impressive. Kevin Brumley gets an MFL 10. Sam Baskin gets an MFL 10. Scott DeLorme gets an MFL 10. What does that mean? It means free money. I'm literally giving you guys entries to MFL leagues, and you don't have to put the money down. But if you win, you win the whole thing. So next week, I'm giving out 6 more MFL 10s, 2 MFL 25s, and 1 MFL 100. Get in on the action now before it's too late.
Next meal.
Dino. I'll pick the right tight ends. Thanks to Tears of Evan. Na-na-na. Back by popular demand, a lot of you wanted to actually hear me sing a little bit, so I just did that. Evan, let's get right to it. I love this show. I love your tears. You've got 3 tight ends in tier 1. Gronk is number 1 and will be till the end of time. Number 2 is Travis Kelce. Number 3, Jordan Reed. What needs to be said about tier 1?
Yeah, I mean, these are your tight end difference makers. You know, these are the guys that go in the first 4 or 5 rounds. Rob Gronkowski, you know, there are very few players that even have the potential to score like 15 to 18 touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski is one of them. He's a guy who has been pretty consistently a first-round pick in fantasy football during his career. He's a mid to late second round pick. The last time he was not a first round pick was when he was coming off his torn ACL, and he went on to lead all tight ends in fantasy points that next year because, of course, he's friggin' Gronk. Travis Kelce was last year's number 1 overall fantasy tight end. Travis Kelce, of course, went over 100 yards in 3 of the 4 games Jeremy Maclin missed last season. I expect Travis Kelce to be the focal point of the Chiefs passing game. this year. And Jordan Reed, these are primarily PPR tiers. Jordan Reed has been the number one overall tight end in PPR points per game in each of the last two seasons, outscoring both Gronk and Travis Kelce. Jordan Reed, of course, is always an injury risk, although I do think that maybe this little toe injury that he suffered and he went and got checked out and does not need surgery, if it might be a blessing in disguise and just kind of a reminder to those Redskins coaches that this dude needs to be, you know, we need to take every possible precaution with Jordan Reed. He's unlikely to play 16 games, but when he is in your lineup, he's going to help you win weeks. And that's why he's worth, you know, a fourth round pick.
So it's interesting, Evan, you almost have with your tight end, you almost have like micro tiers, because tier one was only three guys. The next two tiers are only two guys. Tier two, you got Greg Olsen first and then Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and these guys are just, they should be really, really steady. Greg Olsen is always steady. He just has not been a high-volume touchdown scorer. You know, he has not been ever a double-digit touchdown scorer. But he's consistent. He is Cam Newton's best receiver. You know, last year, he's starting to get a little bit older, but nothing in his game showed any signs of slowdown. Last year, he did fade a little bit as the season went on, but, you know, that was directly correlated to Cam Newton completing, you know, under 55% of his passes in the second half of the year and playing through that shoulder injury that he had to have surgically repaired in the offseason. But I love drafting Greg Olsen this year. Those receivers just have not stepped forward. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, neither have the ability to separate. And Greg Olsen can get open over the middle, and I expect him to have another very, very rock-steady season. Jimmy Graham, returning from his torn patellar tendon so impressively, a top four fantasy tight end last year. He had ups and downs over the course of the season. You know, at its core, I think that the Seattle offense is built to be a run-first team. But their pass attempts have gone up every single year since Russell Wilson took over at quarterback. Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson, they developed a rapport last year for sure. Scott Barrett, who we had on the show earlier in the offseason, put out a chart of which pass catcher does each quarterback in the NFL target the most when he is pressured. And it wasn't Doug Baldwin for Russell Wilson. It was Jimmy Graham. So I think that their rapport and their on-field bond is just going to continue to grow. Jimmy Graham is on the wrong side of 30 now, but when he was, you know, at his peak form last year, he looked like the same old dominant Jimmy Graham. And we're not going to get those kinds of seasons again just because the offense is so much different in Seattle than it was in New Orleans. But I think that Jimmy Graham is a top five guy, and that's why I have him locked into this second tier with Greg Olsen.
Tier three, I mentioned this earlier, Evan. It's, again, just two guys. You've got a couple of Notre Dame guys, Kyle Rudolph first, and then Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph arguably should be in tier two. I mean, this guy led all NFL tight ends in targets last year, and he led all NFL tight ends in red zone targets. With that said, you know, the Vikings were very much their offense kind of transformed as last season progressed. And, Stephon Diggs wasn't healthy after week four. And Adam Thielen, you know, was kind of very slowly incorporated. Laquon Treadwell looks like a guy that they might be able to get a little bit out of as a third receiver this season. Kyle Rudolph was the constant, but we've never seen him really see that kind of usage before that he saw last season. And, you know, I mean, he's got one big season on his resume out of about six. He's still very young. He's, I think, 27 years old still. Seems like he's been around forever. But he's now he had injury problems early in his career. He's now played in back-to-back 16-game seasons. You know, he was a tough one to put in the third tier. I think that he really belongs in the second tier along with Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham. And Tyler Eifert, very arguably as well, also belongs in that second tier, but it's a health issue with Tyler Eifert. I mean, he has missed 26 of a possible 48 games over the past three seasons. You know, that's more than half the games. But at the same time, he has scored 18 touchdowns over his last 21 games. And this Bengals offense, if they can just make that offensive line, you know, get it to the point where it is competent, they have an awful lot of weapons and they're going to be in scoring position a lot. Pretty favorable schedule for Cincy. So, and that would lead to a lot of touchdown chances for Tyler Eifert. So the first tier were the stud difference makers, Gronk, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed. The second tier is the rest of the elite tight end ones, Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham. And then tier three are guys that I really like, but they just have a few too many question marks to be placed into that second tier, but very easily could finish in that second tier as well.
Let's go then to tier four. You got Martellus Bennett ahead of Delanie Walker, who's ahead of Eric Ebron.
Yeah, this is rounding out the tight end one class that I like to draft right now as we're doing this. Jack Doyle actually would have been in this group a couple of months ago, but his value is so tied to Andrew Luck, and now we've had Adam Schefter and Jason LaCanfora, you know, two of the best sports reporters, you know, of our generation, come out and question whether Andrew Luck is going to be ready for week one. So that's concerning to me. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've been very hesitant to draft Colts players. I mean, outside of like Robert Turbin in the 20th round, you know, I have a real hard time pulling the trigger on T.Y. Hilton in the middle of the second round. I have a really hard time pulling the trigger on Dante Moncrief anywhere before the 8th round. You know, and Jack Doyle is not a target for me as long as Andrew Luck's health is in question. So he's in tier five. Sorry, we're supposed to be talking about tier four. What really drives tight end scoring, and I mean, you can look at this historically, is just tight ends that score touchdowns. Martellus Bennett is going to have the opportunity to do that in Green Bay. Delanie Walker scored a career-high 7 touchdowns last year. It seems a little bit ticketed for maybe some negative regression in that area, especially after they signed Eric Decker. But I'm not so sure about that. I think that this Titans offense is going to be a well-oiled, efficient machine that has a couple of great running backs, a dual-threat quarterback to create additional space on the field, one of the best offensive lines in football with quality depth behind the starters. I mean, the Titans offensive line is how we talked about the Cowboys offensive line at this time last year. That's what the Titans are. They have a great offensive line, they have a dual threat quarterback, and they have depth on their O-line. And I think that they're just going to be able to live in scoring position this year, and Delanie Walker is going to score touchdowns. Eric Ebron rounds out this tier, and he has not been a guy who has scored touchdowns. Even going back to North Carolina, never scored touchdowns there, man. So that's a definite issue. With that, you know, he only scored 1 last year. With that said, he scored 5 the year before. And the loss of Anquan Boldin, who recently signed with the Bills, that is going to open up a lot of red zone opportunity for Eric Ebron, for Golden Tate, for, you know, the young kid Kenny Galladay, who keeps impressing. So, yeah, just a lot more opportunity. I don't think that people realize Eric Ebron was top 10 among tight ends in catches and top 10 among tight ends in yards last year, despite missing 3 games. He just needs to score a couple of touchdowns, and he's going to be good in fantasy.
Tier 5, you have Zach Ertz ahead of Jack Doyle, who's ahead of Hunter Henry. And I was at Eagles camp yesterday, Evan. I talked to Ertz, and I asked him about his numbers the last couple of years. I think both years it was like 70-some catches, 800-some yards. I said, is that kind of what you think you're going to be, like a 70-catch, 800-yard guy? And he said, you know, he really looks at those, Evan, as the floor. He mentioned both those years he missed two games. He said this will be the first year that he has the same quarterback. If you go back, he had a new quarterback each year, you know, from like Vic to Bradford to Wentz, whatever. And he also said, you know, having those receivers, Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey, should really open up things in the middle of the field. So he feels like his numbers from the last couple of years are the floor.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, because they added a bunch more weapons. And one of the issues that we've had with Zach Ertz is that, man, he will stink for the first 10 weeks of the season. And all of a sudden, in November and December, he goes nuts. And this has happened, I think, each of the last three seasons now, at least the last two. So that has been an issue for Zach Ertz. But, yeah, his numbers at the end of the season have looked excellent. But now they have added Alshon Jeffrey, and they're trying to incorporate Nelson Aguilar more. And Carson Wentz loves Jordan Matthews. Those guys are boys. And then they signed Torrey Smith as well, and they bring back Darren Sproles. So can we get a consistent, you know, reliable season out of Zach Ertz? I'm not sure. He's a tough one for me. That, you know, I have drafted him sometimes. But I haven't aggressively looked to draft him. I will take him in like the 10th round, even got him in the 11th round a couple of times. But anybody who takes him in the 8th, 9th round, you know, when I'm in leagues like that, I mean, just not really even on my radar at that point. I don't know. He's an interesting guy. He has never scored a lot of touchdowns, even going back to Stanford, and that has been an issue for him. Again, we talked about Jack Doyle, and then the third guy in this tier is Hunter Henry, who a lot of people, I think, want to be in that at least that fourth tier with Martellus Bennett, Delaney Walker, and Eric Ebron, if not that third tier with Kyle Rudolph and Tyler Eifert. I mean, they really want this to happen with Hunter Henry. I'm just skeptical that it's going to happen. I mean, I think he's a really good prospect, but I don't know that it's going to happen as long as Antonio Gates is on the roster. I mean, this team does not use a lot of two tight end sets. They're primarily a three receiver team, even last year when they had Gates and Henry. So I don't think that they're going to change their offense dramatically to get both of those guys on the field. And those guys ended up just being like part-time players last year.
By the way, Evan, it just should be noted that at Eagles camp yesterday, I had like three or four different people. Like, and I'm talking players, coaches. Everybody said Nelson Aguilar looks like a different guy. Like, it's like he's faster, yeah. He's quicker. I mean, he really looked like a different guy. And I asked Howie Roseman about, you know, what that means for Jordan Matthews and the Daniel Jeremiah report that Aguilar's going to be the slot receiver. And Howie said to me, he said, look, I love DJ. He's a friend. But that was his opinion. That was not, you know, that's far from set in stone. We're going to see what happens in the preseason games. And there will be a role for all those guys. You know, he also basically told me they're going to look real hard, I think, at adding a corner. So, you know, if Aguilar produces in the preseason, then you know what? Maybe they will consider trading Jordan Matthews for, you know, for a corner. But I didn't get that sense yet, but everybody was like so effusive in their praise of Nelson Aguilar that I'm sure that's something that they'll look at.
I'm interested to see how much Aguilar, their preseason opener is on Thursday night, and I'm very interested to see how much he plays, because in theory he's a second team guy. You know, or are they going to try to preserve him? Do they really think he's going to be a big part of the offense this year? You know, I'm just – he's the guy I'm going to be watching on Thursday night.
Let's get to tier six. This is where we actually have some volume. Here's the rankings within tier six. Kobe Fleener, Jason Witten, C.J. Fedorowicz, Austin Hooper, Julius Thomas, Cam Brate, Antonio Gates, Jesse James, Jared Cook, Charles Clay, Ben Watson, Evan Ingram, the first rookie on the list, and Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah, all guys that have a shot to be fantasy factors this year. You know, Jason Witten, you know, on this Cowboys team, I mean, he's not sexy at all. But on this Cowboys team that I think is going to end up throwing quite a bit more this year than they did last year just because of game script and because they're not going to be nearly as good as they were last year, Jason Witten can get more targets. And what has been holding him back has been touchdowns. I mean, he's only got three in consecutive years. And, you know, if he can get that up to six, he's going to finish as a top 10 fantasy tight end. Kobe Fleener, in his second year with the Saints, you know, could we see a step forward? We know he's not very good at football. We know he's a good athlete. We know he's playing with Drew Brees. He caught over 60 passes last season, you know, and he really didn't even make a dent in fantasy. Only had, I think, three touchdowns. So, you know, he's another guy. Can he get that touchdown count up this year? Can he earn more snaps? Because before Josh Hill's injury, the Saints' number two tight end, before Josh Hill's injury, I mean, Josh Hill was out snapping Kobe Fleener in games, and they bring back Michael Humanu-Anui this year, a blocker and a guy who played a lot of snaps for them in 2015. You know, could those guys cut into Kobe Fleener's playing time? Charles Clay, downgrade after the Anquan Boldin signing. Ben Watson, I think, is really interesting right now. No one wants to draft him, but he goes super late in drafts. And Kyle Juszczyk and Dennis Pitta leave behind 123 receptions in the Ravens' offense from last year. I think Woodhead is going to soak up a lot of that, Danny Woodhead. But Ben Watson has a chance at a much bigger role than I think anybody's talking about. He is a guy who was the number eight overall fantasy tight end for the Saints in 2015. Right now, you could draft him at like tight end 25. Austin Hooper is a breakout candidate, much cheaper than Hunter Henry, and maybe even in quietly a better situation, because I think Austin Hooper's got a better chance to be a full-time player in his offense, in a better offense with the Falcons. You know, I think one bold call that I may end up making this year, that Austin Hooper outscores Hunter Henry. Cameron Brate should stay very much involved with the Buccaneers. Scored six of his NFL high, eight touchdowns, NFL high amongst tight ends. Scored six of eight in the slot last year. Ran as many slot routes on a percentage basis as any tight end in football. I think he's going to be their slot receiver with O.J. Howard as the inline tight end and Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson outside. Jared Cook brings another dimension to the Raiders offense, something that they have lacked. Can he stay healthy? You know, can he take a step forward? I mean, he made some big plays in the playoffs last year with Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't know that he's going to be a great, you know, even like a streamable tight end, but I do like him as a best ball tight end in like the 16th, 17th round. And I think he can open things up for the Raiders offense via his presence.
Finally, you've got tier seven. Is there anybody else in tier six you wanted to talk about, Evan?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Tier seven, you've got Deion Sims ahead of Vance McDonald, ahead of David Njoku, ahead of O.J. Howard, ahead of Austin Seferian Jenkins, then Eric Swoop, Zach Miller, Dwayne Allen, A.J. Derby, George Kittle, Vernon Davis, Gerald Everett, Ryan Griffin, and Xavier Grimble. The one that really stands out to me there is Austin Seferian Jenkins, especially with Anunua getting hurt this year. Now, you're just not buying it.
This group consists of tight ends who just need to be on our radar. You are right. I should probably move up Austin Seferian Jenkins. You're right, because he's got as much upside as anybody in that sixth tier. Right now I have him in tier seven. I would be very open to moving him up one tier. Vance McDonald, the 49ers beat writers still think that he could get cut. Deion Sims is probably a little bit more interesting, I think, than we've given him credit for. Bears paid him a pretty good chunk of change. He's always been a useful possession receiver, tight end. He's the kind of guy who could, if he lucks into four or five or six touchdowns this year, he's going to end up crushing his ADP, which is almost non-existent. Jermaine Gresham was in tier six. He was a guy who last year finished in the second half of the season. He was top 15 in the NFL in targets. I think that we could see Deion Sims kind of surprise and, have usage that no one really is even aware of and be a factor as a streamer this year. Eric Swoop, I really want to like him, but again, you got the Andrew Luck concern with his health. And you have Jack Doyle ahead of him. And Eric Swoop, he's going to be like a situational field stretcher tight end, and that's not going to help us much in fantasy. Gerald Everett is a rookie. Xavier Grimble was a guy that has been talked up at times in Pittsburgh behind Jesse James, but the Steelers this offseason have spoken mostly of Xavier Grimble as a blocker, in competition with David Johnson, obviously not the Cardinals running back, but their tight end slash fullback, David Johnson. And they are competing for the same role. Jesse James is locked in as the Steelers starting tight end. He finished second on the team in red zone targets last year. And he's another guy who you can consistently get 16th, 17th round. AJ Derby is in this tier seven. He's a guy who has a chance to take a step forward, but there is a decent amount of competition in Denver, and we don't know with the new coaching staff, because A.J. Derby was a guy who was acquired during the season last year under the Gary Kubiak coaching staff. There is some carryover from that staff, but we just don't know right now enough about A.J. Derby to have him any higher than that. David Njoku opened as the number three tight end on the Browns depth chart. I don't expect that to last, but Seth DeValve, your boy, where did he go? Did he go to Princeton?
He did. Of course he did. Come on, man. He's not even tier seven? He's not even tier seven? there's one more tier. Tier eight, and his name's Seth DeValve.
Yeah, I like it when you get fired up. Now, I'm using some Seth DeValve in preseason DFS this week. Njoku has been dealing with a sore back, and Randall Telfer, who appeared at number one on the Browns depth chart when they released it, he is dealing with some sort of ankle injury. Seth DeValve could end up blowing it up on Thursday night, man. Browns play the Saints. Watch it. Set the valve.
Love it. Love the tears of Evan. Absolutely awesome. Evan, it's fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, this teamstake.com business idea is amazing. I love ideas like this, Bri, but I hate things like this, because why didn't I come up with this? And I know there's other sites out there where they can handle like the commissioner's duty and the money, but they all take a little bit of money. They all take a little money. That's not what TeamStake does. They are able to just make enough money from investing your money for a couple months before the payout. It's a beautiful, beautiful business model. Completely free to use. They don't take a percentage from the pot. They don't require a subscription. No charges, any fees to use the service, free payment and payout options for all leagues, safe and secure transactions. professional safekeeping. They've got 256-bit AES encryption, fully customizable payment timelines and structures, optional late fees if you want to convince your buddies to pay on time. I love it. I love this idea. It's TeamStake.com, S-T-A-K-E, TeamStake.com. Make sure you check out TeamStake.com to get started. We're not getting started, Bri. We are finishing, and Evan, today's Tears of Evan, tight end style. How about one more time, Bri? Good, I know. I'm definitely going to win my league now. Especially a tight end, thanks to Tears of Evan. Anyway, awesome. Love Tears of Evan. Everybody does. Evan had to go quickly to register his daughter for kindergarten. Duty calls, dude. Duty calls. Anyway, we got it done. I love it. We got through all of the tiers. I think next week we'll probably do wide receivers. Since, you know, that's obviously a big one. That's a big one. That's an IOU. That's for a Lamborghini. You might want to hold on to that. Anyway, that'll do it for the Fantasy Feast podcast. If you ever have a specific question for Evan, not many of you guys take advantage of this. It's pretty easy. Just take advantage of any of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com. Send it to me with the question. I guarantee I'll ask the question to Evan on the air. Not too shabby, I think. Plus, not only that, if you send me any sponsor confirmation, you can either get into the season-long league, Fantasy Feast League with Evan and I, or you can get one of those nine MFL entries I'm giving out next week. Giving out more free money. Just go to RossTucker.com. Take advantage of any of the sponsors and forward it to me, Ross at RossTucker.com. Any social media spreading the word is for studs only. At Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker, NFL everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram now, at Ross Tucker, NFL. Other than that, totally full, totally stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at RossTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. Average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar. And you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.